put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, our problem straightway is how to interpret these words. We understand the call to readiness. You do not know the hour. We understand that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. But to render the meaning of this one verse, 13 and 14 of Paul's epistle to the Romans, we shall need to consult together. That is, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to live, first of all, with a sense of gladness. Now, we'll have to go back to the beginning of the letter. In the first chapter, Paul identifies himself as doulos, servant, slave of Jesus Christ. Four mentions of Jesus Christ the Lord in the first eight verses. He names himself as an apostle, a witness of the gospel. That, by the way, means good news, glad tidings, to bring about the obedience of faith. Says Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God was passed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It is good news. He's glad. We then, this Advent, shall live with a sense of gladness. Paul turns quickly, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, to our condition, what condition our condition is in. He says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to live with a sense of challenge, that is, a life that is full of alienation, estrangement, challenge. Oh, from the beginning of creation, the invisible nature of God is eternal power and deity. We're known, perceived through the things that were made, but we have become as a people prone to exchange truth for falsehood and to exchange honor for dishonor and to exchange the call of faith, the mind, if you will, for the flesh. He means by the flesh, Paul is a dualistic Neoplatonist, so he means by the flesh that which is over against the real self. So he says of your condition and mine, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Not happy words these. We will live then this Advent, will we not, with a sense of challenge. Ah, the promise of the third chapter. Something new is burst upon the scene. Paul says that the righteousness of God is now manifest apart from the law, that is, apart from progress and achievement and victory and success, the righteousness of God, the right-wising, the making right of God is available through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He further says right there, this is a celebration of newness. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to put on a sense of newness. He said, all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, and so all are justified through grace, which is a gift, the redemption of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're interpreting one verse from 13 and 14, so we're listening for where Paul mentions the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he then will argue with you a little bit about Abraham and why Abraham is blessed. He has a notion that Abraham is blessed by faith, reckoned to him as righteousness before, apart from circumcision. This Advent, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will live with a sense of newness. We come to the great watershed of the Christian faith, as Gardner Taylor called it, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, for suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by faith through the Holy Spirit. We are, that is, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, living with a sense of confidence, confide. Oh, this celebration of confidence will take Paul through the sixth chapter. You remember, in baptism we have been buried with Christ so that we might be raised with him to walk in newness of life. We're getting close to the heart of the matter. That is the life now, just in chapter 7. Again, back and forth, Paul says, I am a man caught up with the flesh. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He identifies with our struggle. But he goes on to say in chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is, to put on Christ is to live with a sense of spirit. And this is the main point for Paul's letter 13 and 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the opposite. That is, live in the Spirit. So, 8 and 2, he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. You know, he sings a song Howard Thurman would have loved. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now that's a very big tent. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You and him and her and we and us and all. Spirit. I think that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the whole creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. And we ourselves wait for adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. In this hope, we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see and wait for it with patience. Spirit, 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 put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What then, he concludes to this glorious chapter, what then shall we say of this? If God is for us, who is against us? Who will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or peril or nakedness or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors. What a phrase. Through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We will live this Advent with a sense of spirit. Now, Paul is going to, he's traced already for you sin and salvation and spirit. He's going to say something about his siblings. We'll leave that for another day, 9 to 11. We could remember with him that how shall they call upon him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear of him without a preacher, and how shall they preach if they haven't been sent, and blessed are the beautiful feet of those who bring glad tidings, because faith, take your hands off the keyboard and your eyes off the screen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ also means to live with a sense of support. We will live this Advent not just with a sense of gladness and a sense of challenge and a sense of newness and a sense of confidence and a sense of spirit. We're also going to live together with a sense of support, that is, the spiritual worship, the service with which Paul concludes in the four final chapters of Romans. You know, he says to you, all of these are beautiful phrases. Be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. He's speaking of the support we have here in the grace of God, which is a gift. If it were not a gift, it would not be grace. He says also, how are we going to do this? Well, we'll tell you in 13 little lines. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast what is good, love one another with mutual support, outdo one another in showing honor, never lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. We are given the grace of God as a gift here in word and table. We shall live in Advent with a sense of support. Now, we're almost there. We're at the edge of the 13th chapter, and Paul's going to say something about a good word about authorities. There's a point to ordering. Oh, we recognize it's not the main point. We recognize that constraint is less than freedom, and that law is less than grace, and that discipline is less than love. But be subject to the governing authorities and pay taxes to those to whom taxes are due, and revenue to those to whom revenue is due, and respect to those to whom respect is due, and honor to those to whom honor is due. And then Paul says, owe no one anything except to love your neighbor. All of the commandments, he says, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, covet, and then he adds, and any other commandment, are summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love fulfills the law because love does no wrong to the neighbor. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ means to put on a sense of support, and here we are at chapter 13, verse 14. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Leave behind drunkenness and debauchery and debt, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for his opposite. Oh, I recognize there are two other chapters there. Paul is going to carry you through a discussion of the weak and the strong, the conservative and the liberal, the traditional and the progressive, the weak and the strong. And he's going to warn us, maybe particularly us, not to do things that cause others to stumble. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are permissible, but not all things build up. That is, if my practice of the day, or the way I eat, or how I speak, or what I do, causes my sibling to stumble, I will not do it. And he ends with a list of names, greeting them. A third of them are women, and says, greet one another with a holy kiss. That is, we shall live this Advent also with a sense of support. Now, you might rightly ask, Dean Hill, couldn't you have just given us verse 14 of chapter 13 in a less biblical and a less theological and a more personal and a more narrative way. I mean, it is Communion Sunday. And I would say, yes, I could have done. For on Thanksgiving Day at 14 degrees on the Fahrenheit scale with 9 inches of powder, a 5- and 6-year-old raced up the hill in that first experience of sledding. And the grandparent, this is the joy of grandparenting, shoved them off, up and over and down. And the parent had to play defense and catch them so that they didn't go over the cliff, cross the road, and into the lake, not yet frozen, though it did freeze that night. That is the gladness of that hour, the challenge of that slope, the newness of that experience, the confidence of that sledder, the support of that family. Well, that was a moment of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you knew what he meant when the 5-year-old said, "Grandpa, could we just do this forever?" There are some things that last forever, and these are the garments of eternity in which, come this preparatory season of Advent, we are clothed. Take heed, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly, leaving behind drunkenness and debauchery and debate. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to satisfy the desires thereof. Come, faithful people, come. Come, faithful people, come. Come, faithful people, come. Receive bread and cup, the grace of God, the gift of God's love. Amen.